Well, cheers, guys. They, normally yeah, we would have cheers, like a cocktail, cheers. But cheers to dry and damp January.
It is a huge table. Cheers from a distance.
These are so good.
They're not bad.
Cool. Well, I think there's this, like we've said, like this whole idea of us sitting down and being able to talk is like we love telling the stories around like the why behind people are doing what they're doing. I think there's so many things out there of, you know, talking about just what people do, you know, and it's like you guys are incredible chefs. You have this incredible restaurant. But I think for people that are taking atypical paths, there's it's a little bit different for everybody, but there's something that like drives them to mm-hmm. do that. So, I mean, we heard about Two Hands when Jordan and I almost moved to New York City 5 years ago now.
I don't know.
It was right before William was born, our mm-hmm. son. And we literally were like, we were going to New York all the time. And Zach and Tara Bros were like some of our only friends like in New York City.
Our
and they were like,
friends, yeah.
Yeah. And they were like, man, you guys have to go to this restaurant, Two Hands. Okay. So, and we were like going, I felt like we were in New York a month.
But we always visited Two Hands. And then when we were talking about when we met y'all, like Nashville is so funny because there are music people everywhere. Like there's super famous people everywhere.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
And so you run into them and I'm like, okay, who? Okay. That sounds good. But we meet you guys. And I was like freaking out, like tears in my eyes.
We were meeting celebrities when we first met y'all. Cause I think we were talking, like we're talking at this random dinner party and then Zach came up and he's like, well, yeah, like they own Two Hands. And Jordan and I, we were like, what do we say now? Like now I'm nervous.
I was like, you don't understand how much we like your restaurant. Like we love it. We're such fans.
Yeah. And then you were like, we're opening in Nashville. And we're like, our life's made.
Yeah. But anyways, we're such fans of what you guys do. And I don't know. I love Nashville for bringing people together like this. But as we've like gotten to know y'all a little bit, I mean, there's so much more to your story. Like Steve did some research on you guys both. And, you know, Henry, you have a background in music. Like you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You went to school for music.
Yeah. Music degree. Yeah.
I think for anybody who's. For so many people that have ended up in kind of like this atypical route, it's like it's almost like they never really started there. They found their way like through other things.
Yeah.
So you studied music and entertainment, but in Australia, right?
Yes. Yeah. So I actually went into a business course straight out of school and just couldn't do it. I was kind of doing what was safe. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but music, like, I really wanted to do it, but I was like, can I do this as a career? Like everyone, I was like, should I really dive into this? Anyway, I was like, after I think a term and a half of my business course, I said, I can't do this, I'm dropping out. And then I did a music course at the Australian Institute of Music. And that, funnily enough, full circle comes to like, yeah, I worked for this music agency, did a bunch of different stuff. And then I figured that this was like, music was what I loved. And usually like doing what you loved as a job works out, but sometimes it doesn't because it was becoming work. It wasn't becoming a hobby. It wasn't becoming fun anymore. It was becoming tedious. And I really hated seeing something I love in my life becoming that.
Mm.
And so I said, look, I'm going to go traveling. I'm going to, you know, take a year off, go to the States, do a road trip, whatever.
How old were you like when this was going on?
I was
on?
Like 22.
Do a road
and
trip.
I told my boss I quit my job at this music agency and I went into the catering business up until to save a bunch of money before I came to the States. And so that's when I started cooking and I started I'd worked in bars and restaurants before out of school casually, but nothing serious. And, anyway, eventually moved to the States in 2011 and, then worked in hospitality when I was here and fell in love with it even more. But I always thought that I'd be moving back at some point and I'd probably go work for that same company and kind of gave the music thing the flick, basically. And that was it. I mean, it was the kind of fear that, I'd started this career that, or was studying this career that I didn't end up wanting to do and see longevity in. And so that was kind of like the driver, you know, to like entrepreneurship, I think. And being in New York City kind of definitely brings that out in you naturally. Just the energy and the kind of like, I can do anything in this city, which is, you know, yeah.
it's contagious there. Yeah. And I feel 100%. Like when you guys were there too, it was like, I don't know, it's changed so much. But you guys were there in this really sweet time. You had a really good crew of friends. And I mean, you were surrounded by people, right? Who were doing like things that they loved, which really, I feel like kind of helps.
Yeah.
Spur, like,
I think it's an age, like we were, you know, no kids, not married, no, not, you know, not those responsibilities yet. So it does give you that timing to kind of give things a go.
Yeah.
And yeah, when you surround yourself with a bunch of people like that, it's, yeah, it's encouraging. It's certainly, it is like you feel a lot more confidence to go out and do that.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of like that where it's, yeah, it's when you're surrounded by people, Nashville feels like so unique to me in this way, but like when you're surrounded by people doing crazy things, it makes what you're doing feel less crazy.
Totally.
So did that like as you're in, so you came from Australia straight to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do the road trip. You just went.
No, we did. We did the road trip.
Okay.
Were you all together?
No. Okay. No, I was with a good mate of mine who now actually owns a cafe, another cafe concept in NYC. But yeah, we did 3 months traveling down south from LA to Tampa. We drove in a little one of those like America, you know, you see like the decals all over them. It was a tiny
a
one.
U-Haul?
Oh, like, no, like an RV, like go RVing.
Yeah,
like one of those companies. Not written on the side.
Yeah.
Were you like, you were like living out of it?
Well, it's just slumming it. Yeah. We actually came to Nashville. I got my wallet stolen here and on Broadway and
this is 2011.
A bunch of money stolen. Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. Cause we had like burner phones. We didn't have internet. So like, well, not like a burner.
When you came to the US, like, so it's like you're
a burner phone. It was a burner. It was yeah, essentially. Yeah, I didn't get. Yeah, I was I wasn't as organized as I am now in that sense. But yeah. So then we got to New York and yeah. I mean, look, coming from Australia, like there's a tall poppy syndrome there where you like if you have a crazy idea, like instead of just going the normal route of banker, lawyer, whatever, like, you know, I want to open a restaurant or something like that, you know, you can be very quickly shut down in terms of that dream, particularly where I grew up, I feel. But again, coming over here and being away from that, being in New York, like it definitely lifted all of that to where I kind of, once I made the decision, you know, we didn't actually open for like another year and a half. So there was definitely like, I didn't jump into it too crazily. And I was, I guess, you know, my mum gave me good advice with that. You know, she was like, I know you want to do this, but like, cause through my whole life, I'd had different ideas and things that I'd want to do, but they were just phases, you know, they'd come and they'd go.
Yeah.
And I didn't want this. I personally also didn't want this to be a phase. Cause I was like, if I commit to this, it can't be like the music thing where I'm like, nah, I'm done with that. You know, it's like, it's a big commitment. So I took my time, researched, you know, did all I could really until you get the actual experience and I'm grateful that I did do that. Mm. That's one piece of advice to give to anyone.
So were you working? Like, did
I was working a restaurant. Yeah. Just around the corner from where we actually opened our first location. And I loved
it. In Nolita?
In Soho.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cafe Select. I don't know if you've been there, but.
Yeah. No, we actually only ate at Two Hands. Yeah. So yeah. We haven't been anywhere
else. That's the only restaurant I've been to.
Yeah, it was. I loved working in hospitality in New York. It was very the energy and just meeting great people and it was awesome. And
so you like came so you made the move. You do the trip. You're in New York City. Like you're surrounded by this like really positive energy of people trying like crazy things. Where does like, you know, when does the change happen for you? Of, you know, you were doing the music thing, like. But then all of a sudden you find yourself in this hospitality space. Like, when did the change happen? And was that kind of like an overnight thing? Or was that like something gradual where you were like, oh, one day you woke up and you're like, well, I guess it's like my new passion is this culinary thing.
Yeah. I think like, I mean, like, you'd know, like working in the music industry, like you kind of like, all right, how am I going to make money doing this? You know, like what the reality of this looks like. And, you know, I kind of made that decision pretty quickly to give that the flick. And then I'd always wanted to own my own business. And a lot of people do. I'd always wanted to like have my own van with my brand on it. You know, like I always had those kind of dreams. And I was terrible at school. And so like I almost knew that making my way
in a standard job, like climbing the corporate ladder or just working as whatever, would actually be probably more difficult for me than throwing the dice and going and, you know, opening my own business and giving it a go. I honestly felt more confident doing that than going into the normal workforce because schoolwork was not my thing. I didn't do that well at school and, you know, I can still barely read and spell. So that's why Tan's really good at that. We're so she helps me. She's my yin and yang with that. But, so yeah, that was the confidence that I had to do it. And, you know, I kind of had this sort of confidence that whatever I did do would be good. Like,
yeah,
whether it had longevity or people liked it, I'd be like, you know, if I open a cafe, the cafe is going to be decent and we'll give this a crack. Yes. And it really was just like, you know, we were just back in Australia. So it's like fresh on our mind, but you know, it really is the food back there and, you know, not to harp on and, you know, blow the horn on how good Australia is, but the produce and the food and the cafes and everything is like, it's amazing. And that's what I did miss. And that's what I was trying to emulate and still trying to emulate to this. I mean, that's what the business is. I'm just trying to represent the quality of Australian sort of cafes and that's food and lifestyle and community and just a cool place to hang out and feel welcome and all that kind of stuff with nice design on all the rest of it. That was the huge motivator because I kind of missed that from back home and I didn't see that, you know, I saw the opportunity in New York for that to work. And luckily it has so far. So,
oh, so man. When did Tara come along?
You were there at the beginning.
She was.
Yeah. 2014, yeah. You guys opened it essentially together, right?
Yeah.
We weren't together.
Oh, no way.
But it was like a couple of days after
we met for the first time. We met like just before it was going to open.
Okay.
Probably like a few weeks before, or maybe it was like a month before.
Yeah, it was pretty
cool. But yeah, and then so I was at the time, like I had a bit of time like with my work schedule. So I like came in and helped out like the first week for free before anybody had really like kind of been hired. So I was there on day one, but I didn't really like open it with him. But yeah, that was like right when we started dating, which is cool because, you know, I'm glad that I was able to
be connected from the start.
Yeah.
You grew up in Murfreesboro.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how, like, and you ended up
in Murfreesboro is close to Nashville.
Yeah. It's like, essentially a big suburb of Nashville just outside. Right. Yeah. So it's like, and you studied cinema. Photography or cinematic art, in California. So what's the route to you ending up in 2014 at Two Hands? Like, how do you end up in New York City?
It's kind of roundabout. So I grew up in Murfreesboro and I just wanted to like study. I loved movies, so I wanted to like be in the movie business. So I moved to LA. I went to USC, University of Southern California, and I went to the film school there. And I studied cinematic arts, so which I loved. And then I started working in that industry. I worked in Hollywood for like 2 years. I worked for a producer, literary manager, and then I worked at a talent agency for a literary agent for Motion Picture Lit, who represented like screenwriters and directors. And so, yeah, I really liked it. But then after 2 years, I realized that like, when I was a kid, I had really wanted to write books. And I realized that like, although I had not been pursuing that at all, I really wanted to pursue that. And so I left and I moved to Sydney and I went to grad school in Sydney for creative writing. And I didn't know anybody in Australia. I'd never been there.
What prompted that move? Was it the school or?
Yeah, big moves.
Yeah. Also, I love that there's this idea of like, you had this, I think it's so cool when people kind of rediscover this like thing that they had in them from like a kid.
Yeah.
And kind of going back to what we said earlier, like about like Henry, you ended up in something totally different than like kind of where you started. I think there's this moment of like there's something that's like, it's not your main thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm a secondary to like you were out in California, which took guts in its own right. And like you're pursuing music, Henry. And it's like, there's, the secondary thing almost becomes the main thing, right? Where it's like you rediscovered, there was this like passion in you of writing since you were a kid.
Yeah.
You know, so why, how do you end up in Sydney? Like, was it the school? You didn't know anybody.
No, it's a great question. I think I felt like in order, if I was going to pursue it, I needed to move away somewhere. And I really wanted to do a graduate program for it. I didn't want to just like, I mean, I had been writing, you know, doing my job, but I wanted to just like take a year or two and like really focus on it. And, you know, so I wanted to learn and I wanted to just like be in a program that kind of like gave me a good reason to focus on it. And so I was like looking at the ones, so I wanted to focus on kids and young adult fiction. So I was looking at the programs in the States, and they, the best ones were kind of in places where I just didn't really want to live.
Yeah.
No offense to those places, but
they shall remain unnamed.
I just wanted, you know, an adventure, and so I started looking internationally, obviously like in English speaking countries, which is pretty limited, and then this one popped up at Macquarie University in Sydney, and I think when I saw it, I was like, I'm gonna go do that. So I just went. And
was there like fear kind of wrapped up in that? Like you went, like you already had done this thing where it's like grew up in Tennessee and you're like, I'm going to kind of do that.
You chased a dream.
You chased a dream to California of like, I'm going to Hollywood.
Yeah.
Right. Which is already crazy in its own right. And then you made the decision like, I've had this passion for creative writing. Was there ever a moment when you're like, man, this is just crazy. Like, and I should be doing something different? Or were you just like, always like, no, this is what I'm going to do.
There kind of was, yeah. I mean, I think I made the decision and committed to it. And then in the few months between when I like had made that decision and committed to it, and then when I actually moved, I kind of was like, whoa, what's going on here? Because I was like quitting my job, you know, I was telling people and everybody's kind of like, okay, you know, like.
Are you sure this is a good idea?
Yeah. Okay, very good. But it's funny. I mean, yeah. And I kind of was like, I don't really know why I'm doing this, but I did feel like it was what I was supposed to be doing. And it's interesting because while I did not at all, like I would never have imagined that I'd be, you know, where I am now doing what I'm doing. But like everything in my life now kind of came from that decision, you know, I wouldn't be doing this if I hadn't moved to Sydney.
I think there's this thing too, like you saying like that you had these people around you being like, oh, almost like, are you sure? And it's like, there's, you even felt like crazy about it. And I think there's, as we have more of these conversations, it's like, those are the moments when people feel that with about what they're doing and they like kind of push through anyways. It's almost like that's like a green flag almost where it's like, oh, people are questioning what I'm doing. And I'm almost like, am I being a little bit crazy here?
Yeah.
It's like, that's when you're on the right path. Cause otherwise you're just like living in fear and you're like, I'm going to do the safe thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's so cool that you had that moment of like, you almost had to just be like, no, I'm doing this. And then later you were like, wait, what am I doing?
Yeah. What's happening?
I think I just felt like, I don't know. Like I just knew if I didn't do it, then I would always be wondering what would have happened if I had it. And I just had that kind of feeling that it was a thing I was supposed to do for whatever reason. So
yeah, we have this thing that we always say where it's like the worst case scenario isn't that like you try it and it fails, but like you never try at all. Like literally the worst case scenario would be, you just always wondering.
Yeah.
What if, you know, should I have done that?
Yeah.
You know, so you end up down in Australia, you're studying, you get your master's, right? In creative writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then how do you guys?
Yeah. How do you end up in New York City?
So, So then after that, I got my degree and I was working on a book and it was kind of a similar kind of thing where I just felt like the next right thing to do was to move to New York, which was not a thing that I'd really wanted to do before that. Neither of those things I really like. It wasn't like a dream that I had that I'd always wanted to do. It was just like I felt like it was what I was supposed to do next.
Yeah.
So I moved to New York and I was just working. I was doing a lot of like temp jobs and catering jobs and like just kind of miscellaneous work like that. And while I finished my book, and then I ended up selling my book. Had like a couple of books published and was like still doing, you know, whatever miscellaneous work at that point. And then that's kind of when I met Henry. Was like, it was right soon before my first book came out, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that
we had the launch party at the cafe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Did y'all meet at the launch party?
No. We met like, yeah, we met once like out and about. And then once you came and looked at the cafe while we were building it. And
but we met. But we met through friends of friends from when I lived in Australia.
Yeah, the connection.
The thing is, we actually had both, like when I lived in Sydney, he was still living in Sydney. We both moved to New York at almost exactly the same time, but we didn't meet for like 3 years after that. Mm. Yeah.
Gosh.
So, but we met through friends of friends that like I had met when I lived in Sydney, which is why I say like, if I hadn't moved to Sydney, we wouldn't have ever like met. We wouldn't. You know, our paths probably wouldn't have crossed. So
that is wild.
Yeah, and I remember that, like when I first met her, they're like, she's actually originally from Nashville, and I was like, damn, that's cool.
Yes.
And then we got married down here a couple of years later, and I was like at my wedding going, we're getting married in Nashville. That's also very cool.
I love that. So you like help out at the restaurant, and then like how soon are you guys together?
Pretty quickly. Well, her second book that she got sort of signed on to do, which was a sequel to the book, was set in Paris. So we met, but she'd already planned, like, was it 2 months or 3 months? Wait, how long?
It was like 6 weeks or something.
6 weeks
like
she was going to be living in Paris writing the book. And shortly after we just sort of started getting together. So that was kind of like, oh, that's, you know, are we serious? Are we not? Before she leaves, like, what do we do here? So I ended up surprising her and going over for like a couple of days when she was in Paris, which was obviously like lovely.
So
that's commitment. A couple day trip to Paris.
Well, because like we just opened store.
Yeah, so around the clock.
I was like, can I go for a couple of days and like just like solidify this relationship? But then it all moved relatively fast, and we got engaged like 10 months after we met.
So now you guys have how many restaurants and how many more to come?
We have 6 restaurants at the moment, and we're opening three new ones this year. One in Denver, one in Dallas, and one in Franklin, Tennessee. Nice.
Awesome.
And then another one on 12 South.
Neighbors.
2025. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And then we have a couple more things in the works, and that's the major movements for the next like 18 months. Mm-hmm.
And you also have a farm,
yes,
that supplies like the restaurants, right?
Yeah, when it can. Yeah, we don't do that, like we don't like guarantee that all the time. But
right.
In 2017 the story goes, we got married in 2016, and shortly after that we were still living in New York, but we wanted to move to Nashville back then. And at the time it would have been a big left turn, you know, with the business and everything. We only had 2 stores and
they were all in New York City.
Yeah, they were in New York. There was nothing here. There was no plans for here, nothing.
Yeah.
And so that sort of idea slowly faded away, and we got antsy, and that's when we started looking upstate New York for a kind of weekender, and this is after we were married. So that's when we found the farm in 2017. And I mean, I'd always, I feel like everyone has the dream to like have a farm one day. So I had that.
We definitely do.
Yes. I have that dream.
I had that dream. Everyone has that dream. I don't know if you had that dream as much as I
have. You inherited that dream. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we kind of like, again, it was kind of like, do I open my own business kind of scenario. It was like, do we get cows? Do we do a farm? Do we fence it? Do we do it? And we were kind of like, hell yeah, let's do it. Like, so but we were smart about it. We went to we did a course at Cornell online in like regenerative farming and all of that. And we met some really good people in that network. You know, we do like grass-fed, grass-finished operation. Well, that's what we wanted to do. That's what we wanted to set up. So we met a lot of really great people to sort of guide us and help us throughout our first sort of year of setting everything up. And then it's like anything, you just got to do it. Like, you know, you can read as many books about raising cattle as you want, but you got to get the cows and
yeah. start raising them.
Yeah. I mean, you got to do it. And then, so yeah, we did that and we kind of just dipped our toe, got a couple of cows. We got like 8 cows and we got some more, and then we got a bull and we bred them, and then we calved, and then we got sheep, and then we lambed, and then we got pigs and then we had chickens and
ducks
and geese and
all kinds of things.
Some kind of lasted a couple of days, some lasted longer than that.
Turkeys.
The turkeys we let out, like we incubated them, and then they hatched, they got to a certain sort of age and stage where I let them out, you know, and we let everything free range. So like we let them out, and then like a day later they were just gone.
They're gone.
But they never came back.
They were so funny. They would come back and they like loved the cows. Remember, they would like sit on the cow's shoulders and it was so cute. We're like, oh, they're never gonna, you know. And then one day
they just came back.
Yeah, but we've definitely lived and learned. We've gone through some ups and downs, but yeah, we raise the cattle for meat, and all that meat has gone to the restaurants. All the pork has gone to the restaurants. We did kind of ramped up everything in 2020 when we kind of moved up there a little bit more full time when the city was kind of shut down. And that's when, that's when kind of things were on the rocks. We closed all our stores, you know, for like 2.5 months.
Yeah.
On March 15th, and then basically rebuilt the company almost from scratch coming out of that, which was actually, like, looking back on it, like if I was to look at the whole life cycle of the business, was actually quite helpful to have that opportunity to kind of be like, all right, we're kind of like not stuck in our ways, but this is how we've been doing things and this is how it is. But then it's like, all right, now we get to kind of start from scratch and be like, what actually wasn't working? Because we don't even have to worry about that anymore, you know?
Yeah,
there was almost like this opportunity. Mm. And it was almost like everyone would forgive you for, you know, in this time, everyone would forgive you to trying something new or switching something up. So that was actually quite cool, sort of rebuilding from there. And I do think the business rebuilt better than it was. And
maybe it was something that you wouldn't have had running the business, you may not have had the time or thought to do that.
You don't. Like you want to make changes, but when you're open 7 days a week, you can't. It's hard to even fix some things because you just open the whole time. So it's like, all right, well, we need to like, you know, paint this or do that. It's like, well, I mean, it's either first thing in the morning or it's like in the middle of the night, you know? Yeah. And so it is tricky. So yeah, that was actually really cool. If there was like positive to come from that whole debacle.
And I never really thought, like you said something really interesting where it was like, I've never thought of it this way, but pandemic was a time where it's like you could be forgiven for trying crazy things.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody was probably going a little bit crazy, honestly.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. I was doing cooking videos for Goldman Sachs, which I like.
No. I was literally about to ask, like what were the crazy things?
That was a crazy thing. I got into it through like one of our investors. I just kind of like dove in head first. I was like, let's do it.
Yeah.
So I'd have these like Zoom meetings with like 20 people, and I'd have my little laptop on a ladder in my shitty little kitchen. And I'd have like
at the farm
with the camera. Yeah. Like that was the camera. That's how professional it was. It was just the camera on the computer. And I'm like, hey guys. So yeah, you know, like try, because
what
people don't
by.
Think when they're like, let's do a cooking video, it's like, unless it's like a one shot thing, you do have to get quite a lot of different angles. If there's a pot, you got to look in the pot. So I was like trying to figure this all out like on the spot. And where our farm is, our internet's really bad. So I would like, she'd be like, while you're doing this, I'm going to go upstairs with Barker.
Yeah, I couldn't help because I had to look after our 1-year-old. So when he made noise, you know, it wouldn't be in the video.
And they were like paying for it. So like the internet would cut out in the middle of it. And we're cooking a steak and it's like, the power goes out. So I'm like running around, like effing and jeffing. I'm like unplugging the internet, plugging it back in. Like, yeah. And then I'd get back like, sorry guys. And I'd be like bright red. And
like, don't know what happened. There's a turkey on a cow outside the window. Like,
yeah, it was. That went on for a while, which was good. But it's like, you know, they say like, you know, all the billionaires come out of like, you know, like economic crashes and whatnot. And I think it's interesting because, you know, it is stressful and you know, like you got people looking at you, and with a restaurant, it's like performance. Like we just opened 2 new restaurants at this time when COVID hit. So they were like a month and a half, 2 months old when we shut down. And so they had barely like opened, and that was pressure. And like, but it was just like, okay, well, I feel like there's like a weight of forgiveness here where it's like the world's in this crazy situation and I'm trying to get by, everyone's trying to get by. And, you know, just get a moment to kind of think about and reevaluate and, you know, which, yeah, kind of took the weight off the shoulders a little bit, I thought, throughout that whole situation. And we opened our Austin location, which was the first location outside of New York, which was daunting in itself. But we opened that in October of 2020. So right in the thick of COVID. But even going to that, I probably would have been more stressed in a normal situation than going into it during COVID, where I was like, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're going down to Austin, we're opening Austin. Hopefully they like it. Hope, maybe not. I don't know. But like, I'll probably be forgiven if it all blows up in my face. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there was kind of like that, yeah, that freedom.
You even talking about it, like you talking about that sounds so similar to you talking about like when you first landed in New York and you're like, I'm going to do this restaurant thing. It's almost like the pandemic gave so many people this chance of like reevaluating why they're doing what they're doing and getting back to the roots of that, right?
Yep.
'Cause it's so easy in the day to day of like operating and, you know,
yep.
building your dream. Like yep. you can just get so heads down and like, oh, I'm building this dream, that you lose sight of like why you started it in the first place.
Yep.
Like, how do you guys, like now that you've had that experience almost twice now where you started it, then you like were like growing it and then it's boom, pandemic. So you had this chance to step back again. How do you guys continue? How do you continue to make sure you have time to like step back? I mean, because you obviously are like, you've got more Nashville stuff coming. You got Denver coming. You said you got Dallas.
Two kids. Like, you got
two kids. So it's like, how have you, you know, outside of pandemic now, because, you know, God forbid, like, you know, we don't, hopefully that doesn't happen every few years to give us all a reset. How do you guys still reset?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's like, that's something that everyone needs to ask themselves and be conscious of, because there's no point unless you're enjoying the ride, right? And I think you gotta, you know, when you're stressing and also just like when you're in your business every day, it's like listening to yourself sing. Most people hate the sound of their own voice. Yes. It's like you can get that way with your business and you can walk in and be like, oh, it doesn't look good. And like everyone else would be like, it looks awesome. It's great. It's fine. What do you, you know, but you're like, and I think getting away from that and being able to enjoy, you know, whether it's in small spurts, like going into the restaurant and enjoying a meal and just looking around and seeing people have fun and enjoying that moment, or, you know, celebrating the kind of successes over the last couple of years. It's 10 years old. The company's going to be 10 years old this year.
Congrats. That's amazing.
Which is huge. Yes. Like for a restaurant, you know, just one restaurant to last like the first year. And like just reminding yourself like, or, you know, patting yourself on the shoulder and the rest of the team and, you know, everyone involved to like take a second and reflect on that. I think that's hard, because you can get caught up in the like grass is always greener. Like, you know, what's going to fulfill the dream, you know, or like when are you kind of going to tick the box? And I mean, for most people that have that entrepreneurial fire, I think it's like never. And I think that's like a blessing and a curse in that sense.
Amen.
Like never being like satisfied, which is like, sounds bad, but it makes you progress every day and get better and do more things and grow. So, I don't know how you feel about that, but
yeah,
that's how I look at it.
Yeah. I mean, I think like, you know, we were saying we were just in Australia for Christmas seeing his family. So I think like for me, when, you know, when we do that trip, which is like we try to do it once a year, that definitely gives me some perspective on the whole thing. You know, just being away and like being there is helpful too. And just kind of like being around the culture and the food that like really inspired
what you're doing.
Inspired Two Hands. And then like, you know, kind of like coming back and looking at everything with fresh eyes, I think is helpful for me.
Yeah, I think it is so important to pull yourself out of like the day to day where you're, you know, because if you're just in the normal day to day all the time, you get stuck in that, but you need a new perspective.
It's so hard to pull out of what you're doing and like.
Yeah, because we got to paint that thing. We've got this thing. We've got to make that. There's always something more to do.
Yeah. I remember like when I was that year and a half before we sort of opened the first one, and you know, I was like getting cookbooks and getting produce and making a sandwich and like taking photos and getting really excited about just like menu ideas and design ideas and, oh, look, this light. And it was like, that was so fun, right? It's like when you're a kid and you're like looking, yeah, like the almost better than getting the guitar is looking through the guitar catalog for like, yes, 3 months. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Anticipating,
yeah,
it.
The shopping.
Yeah, it was, yep, like that. And then, yep, and then when we opened, I kind of like froze and I felt like all my creativity froze because I was just like, just getting through it and figuring it out. And I couldn't think of like any, I felt like my brain was like blocked. And it was,
yeah,
like
writer's block.
It was like, it was interesting. And it, COVID, it came back in COVID, and that's why I was cooking all the time. And I was like, yeah, I'll do the Golden Sachs thing, whatever. And like, yeah, because I was just loving it and I was kind of like bored. And but it came back then. And I think the more, like, I've been able to grow myself out of the day to day as the business has grown and get support around me and get a team that I definitely try and make sure that I have that time to dream and think and have ideas and, you know, scroll a catalog or look into something, because that's what is the fun part.
Yeah.
You know, that's what kind of drew me to it in the first place. So trying to keep that in the day to day, week to week, yeah, for sure.
And I think that carries through, like, you know, to the, you know, the rest of the people like on our team and the staff and everything. Like, when you have time to like dream and get inspired, yeah, like, it really does make a difference.
100%.
You know, everyone then gets inspired. Cause
they do
and
start
excited
to look at you. I don't, you know, you might feel like this in your position at Ranger Station. Like there becomes pressure when you're like not coming up with things or maybe not even just saying too much cause you're in the thick of it and everyone's kind of looking at you for like, is this good? Should we do that? What are you thinking? And you're kind of like, you know, you can get in those ruts where you're like, I don't have any ideas right now. Yeah. You know, like, I wish I did, but
I'm trying.
Yeah. I want to come up with a, you know, sink it from the three, but I'm, you know, and I think, I think for founders, that's important to create that space in around you for sure.
I think it's really easy to fill your calendar and be like, okay, we're being really productive this week and we have all these meetings and we're doing all these things. But I mean, we both got to the end of last year and we were like, what just happened? Like, I mean, it was an awesome year in so many ways, but like, we were like, what are we doing? All we've done is talk to people. We haven't actually like gotten any work done in a minute because we're just chatting.
Yeah.
And, but it's really hard to like put time on your calendar or reserve time to like, it's like free space to like kind of play in your field. But that's something that we've both been working on this year. It's like, you know, we tend to feel guilty when we do that. We're like, oh my gosh, we're not getting anything done. This is not productive.
Yes.
But our best ideas come from that. And so we're like really trying to lean into that and do it more.
It's hard to do too, because it's so uncomfortable. Cause you're like, oh, there's all these things that I need to be doing and executing. So it makes slowing down and stopping so uncomfortable. And it's like, to your point of like, you literally start doing these cooking videos because you're bored. Mm. You know, it's like when you slow down, I'm the same way. It's like, if I'm not doing something, I'm so bored and I get severe anxiety and overwhelmed by like not having anything to do. Yeah. And, but in those moments, it's like, that's when you're really driven to like try those new things. Cause you're just like, I just need to do something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jordan, what you just said, like, it is exactly what Henry's been saying, like, the last month or so. I feel like they're like, it was exactly the same words.
Well, I was saying to Tia the other day, like, I think because I wasn't good at school, I hated like writing an essay or doing like writing notes or like concentrating on like paper, you know? But I feel like in the back of my mind, that's always been like what I register as like proper work. Like, if I'm going to sit down, like, write a presentation or punch out a bunch of emails or whatever, that's like work. Anything else, going meet someone for a coffee, having a conversation about an idea, that's like fluff, right? That's not work. But I was thinking about this the other day about, particularly for like a self-employed person, your work becomes your whole life and your whole life becomes your work. And I don't think that's a bad thing, but I think you need to, going to have a coffee with someone or spending half an hour reading a book should be considered holistically like work and lifestyle, because it will help you with your work. Like taking five to read a book, whether it's fiction, nonfiction, if that helps you get back into work or helps you think better or sleep better. If you're working for yourself and your family, like that's all that matters. So it's actually building it into everything that you do,
mm-hmm.
and not thinking that like, oh, I haven't been doing enough work. I'm stressed that I haven't like dived, you know, been sat there at my desk all day, just like head in a piece of paper. I mean, that's just like one, that's not really what your role is to do anyway, but you know, there's a lot of things by just, or an idea that could come by taking five and having a coffee with someone, or, you know, going to the gym and listening to a book, you know, on the treadmill for 30 minutes, you know, yes. like I don't consider that going and doing exercise or slacking off or not doing work. I'm trying to think of that now as like, that's helping everything else. Hopefully if I can yes. curate it properly. Yeah. So I think that's how I'm trying to like change my perspective on thinking about that. So I'm not like, yeah. Because I don't think stressing about that actually gets more work done in right. no way.
And then faster. You like, I mean, if you don't take the time to do that, you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm doing the exact same thing I've been doing for 3 years. Yeah. I haven't changed. I haven't grown. I haven't done anything. I'm yeah. just like doing the same thing versus like giving the space to evolve and
mm-hmm.
like expand your skills in the kitchen or yeah. whatever it is. Like pick out, I remember when you guys were opening the Nashville location and Tara was like, oh yeah, Henry's finding some speakers.
He's
oh,
yeah, like, you were going to pick up some yeah. vintage yeah. speakers.
Yeah. He's very particular about that stuff. I'm like, that stuff's important. It's all in the yeah. details of like what you're doing. Like, you know, when you walk into your restaurants, you notice the details and that's what makes people feel taken care of. And like, it yes. might've been a bit of a pain to drive mm-hmm. wherever you drove to like pick up those speakers. Yes. But like Steve noticed them first thing,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, like
100%. Yeah. So, I was like, babe, do you think those, we should get some of those for our house?
Yeah. yeah. We got them in Murfreesboro.
There you go. Hometown. There you go.
He was like, we could put some of those in our house. I was like,
Jordan's like, where?
What? Like hanging over us.
Yeah. Hanging just like that.
I just hope they don't fall on anyone. Like,
yeah.
That's like my.
But like, just giving some space for that kind of stuff is really important. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And it's like, again, going back to like, that's some of the stuff that I loved about the idea of, you know, opening a restaurant. It's like picking out your logo and picking out the design and like the colors and this and like all that stuff, which can become, as you've done it over, like we've done it over and over now, it becomes tedious and you kind of just want to get it done. But it is nice to go back and enjoy that again,
yes.
you know, and mm-hmm. just research and, you know, yeah.
So
yeah.
what are y'all looking forward to in the next, like, I mean, what's down the line for you?
A drink in February?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe depending on if you know how long dry, yeah. if it becomes dry January. Yeah. You should do dry January.
I don't think Tara's going to do dry Feb. She's no interest in that.
Yeah. I'm going to go damp for sure.
Yeah, you're going to go damp in Feb.
I don't know how damp. Might be damp.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a big year, you know, like with the three new locations opening and the 10-year mark is exciting. Are you guys like, you've been open for about 10 years, right?
We are coming up on 9 years.
Nine years. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was like right around the same.
Yep.
So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, that's cool. That's an exciting milestone to hit.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about all those things. Mm. Yeah, I just said like, yeah, coming off the holiday in Australia, coming back, I was like, I just got to be like the most organized I've ever been this year, because if I'm not, I'm just going to like freak out.
Yeah, send us your tips and tricks.
Yeah, yeah, when you figure that out, please tell us.
It's my downfall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I always say like, I like most of us, but I had ADD at school and like, probably still do. And I feel like that's my superpower now, because my brain can handle the scatter. Like I don't concentrate on anything for too long. And mm-hmm. being in a position where everything comes at you at any time of day, not planned, I feel like I'm more able to take that than yes. someone who's really like likes their structure and everything. So I feel like I'm trying to like work with the two. But yeah, I'm excited for there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
This year is probably going to be our busiest year of our life, potentially,
yeah.
up until this time. Amazing. So,
and then I'm excited too. We're going to start like growing the farm again as well.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
So I'm excited about that too.
Yeah.
Just really like diving into that and making that a big focus. So
that's incredible.
Be, like, more toward the end of this year. But I mean, y'all are doing something that truly like you might not think about it this way, but you're touching people's lives like every single day. I mean,
yeah.
At hundreds of people eat or thousands mm-hmm. of people eat at two hands. I don't know.
1 million.
1 million people every day.
Billions every day. Yeah. It's a huge deal. But like, truly, like, how crazy is that? That like something that you created, now all these people are, it's a part of their lives every single day. And like, when you look down the line, like, what does legacy mean to you? Like, what do you want to be remembered by?
Henry, you touched on something too, and mm-hmm. you were talking about, like, to jump off of what Jordan's saying of like you had of like you view actual work, or there mm-hmm. was a time when you viewed actual work as like, oh, sitting down and doing like very tactical things, right?
Yeah.
But then you had to almost reframe that into like, oh no, it's this more holistic thing. And to Jordan's point about legacy too, it's like, I think there's this moment where if you're going to be successful and have longevity in doing something like you guys are doing, where it's not safe at all, mm-hmm. you're arguably in like maybe the hardest industry, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, you have to undergo this redefinition of like what work is and what success is.
Yes.
Yeah. So like, what is that? Like, what's that been like for you guys? And like, when you know, when you get to the end of your life and you're looking back, like, what does leaving a good legacy look like for you? Because like you, Henry, you said there's no point if you're not enjoying the ride.
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think it's something that I probably didn't really start to think about seriously until the business got to a point of like comfort in terms of like the first couple of years, it's very like, this could end tomorrow. You know, like, yeah. I'd come to work every day and I'd be like, they're just not going to come. Like, no one's, it's done, you know? Like,
they forgot about
in
us.
In New York, it can be like that as yeah. well. It's like, oh, that place isn't cool anymore.
There's
you know?
Almost some freedom in that too, in the very early stages, right?
Yeah, you yeah. just walk in, you're like, I hope people yeah. come. Cause you don't, you know, like. Yeah.
I don't think that's freedom. Yeah, it's terrifying.
But I think, you know, yeah, as we grew, And you know, also in those early stages, you're just trying to get by. You're like, are we making enough money to get to next month? And once that kind of got into a bit of a rhythm and a little bit more comfortable and solidified, it then becomes like, what? Yeah, why? Like, why are we doing this? Like, what's, you know, not just what the mission statement is, but what is the impact statement? You know, like, what do we want to do? And I think a lot of what good companies are doing now is thinking about that first before dollars. You know, and you guys probably do it with your company. And it's like that, you know, has been proven time after time to solidify like a cult status in your company, which I would, you know, if Two Hands is, you know, if people love Two Hands as like, you know, have a cult, it has a cult following, like that's what I'm aiming. And that's what the goal is, that like, it's just, you know, an approachable, lovable place. And mm-hmm. and has longevity. I think that's a huge thing, that just having that longevity in the business, so that we can keep getting better and better. Like every year, every day, I say, if we're not coming into work every day trying to make that dish better than yesterday, then there is no point, mm-hmm. right? You know, mm-hmm. and like that doesn't happen every day in reality, but that should be the goal. And so, I mean, I don't have too much thoughts about like my kids taking over the business or any of that stuff. But, I mean, that'd be lovely,
the
but I don't know.
Toddlers taking
about,
over.
I don't know about that. We'll I don't know if they'd want to do that, but
take over the family biz.
Yeah.
Another thing that I think about a little bit, especially like, you know, now some of what I work on is kind of like HR/culture kind of stuff. And I just think about how many, you know, hospitality by nature is, you know, the people who work hourly paid positions tend to be like not employed for very long compared to like a lot of other jobs. It's not, we do have a lot of hourly paid employees who've been with us for a long time, which is awesome. Mm. But just thinking about the number of people who like will work at Two Hands over the course of the business's life, and just thinking about like Two Hands being a part of their lives and like making it as much a positive part of people's mm-hmm. lives as it can be. I like, for me, that's a cool way to think about it. Just because like, you know, people work in hospitality, some people because they want to make it their career, but a lot of them, it's just like a thing while they're in school that they're doing, or like while they're yes. pursuing something else. And so for us, we really want to make sure that it's like a positive growing experience for all of those people, regardless of whether they want it to be their career long-term or not. And I like, if you think about it, that's a big deal to be like a place of employment in like so many people's yes. lives for whatever period of time. So I feel like that's a legacy thing as mm-hmm. well, you know,
absolutely.
Because, yeah, you know, that can make a big impact.
Yeah, it's a big responsibility to have that involvement in so many people's lives, I guess, you know, whether it's short period or long period of time. But yeah, I think another thing I was thinking of, you know, what's been great about the company as it grows is the opportunity for more ladder climbing opportunities for all the staff. And most, if not all, management are internally hired. And I'm a huge believer in that system because it's just...
Internally promoted.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's just like, yeah, it's just really hard to teach culture and, you know, personalities and, you know, and so, yeah, I mean, having the opportunity for people that, you know, maybe not don't have a degree or start at the bottom as a dishwasher or just as a server, you know, we have so many opportunities along the way now in the company as it's grown where they, you know, yeah, if they just put their head down and work hard, we can give them the opportunities if they want it. And that's like, as I said, we've seen that for the most part of all management have done that path. Like my COO, Lucy, who is like the best. And she started as a barista. Tara trained her on her first shift on the floor, you know, and she's from Australia. She's from Melbourne. And, you know, like, yeah, that to me is legacy in itself. If someone can see that the company was kind of like home to their career and their growth.
Yeah. And it is like, yeah, it is very much like if you want to commit, if you love it and you want to like be like a part of the team and work hard, like there's definitely a path for you.
Yeah.
And
And it's, you know, it's getting and a good path, like a fruitful path, you know, like there's money to be made. And I think that people don't think that in restaurants. They're like, oh, it's just a startup job or it's not a career. And trying to change that narrative to be like, no, it is a career.
Yeah.
You just got to stick at it. Like, you know, in this day and age, kids, like, you know, they want a raise. They come work for you for 3 months and then they ask for a raise. It's like, I mean, you got to work longer. Give me a little bit longer than that.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you know, and you'll see. But it just, you got to be patient. Like success is patience, you know. And you know, I was talking to, we had our staff party for Nashville last night. And I was telling one of our staff members, I was like, look, Two Hands is coming on 10 years this year, which seems like you might look at it from the outside and be like, oh, this happened all so quickly or Henry's still young or whatever, but it's like 10 years is 10 years. And it's still like, I feel like I'm still kind of at the start.
Still in the infancy.
You know, and you got to be comfortable in that and be patient or else, you know, yeah, you're kind of going to take one step forward and two steps back, you know? And I want to try and instill that into the people that do show promise that come and work at Two Hands, that it's like, yeah, there's places you can go and you can make a really good salary working here and you can travel and you can maybe, you know, if you in New York and it's getting too expensive, you have opportunity to like move to Nashville or which isn't much cheaper.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Good point. Yeah.
The same price.
Yeah, honestly.
Yep. But you know, yeah, it's exciting to have that sort of be building that.
Yeah, y'all hit on some good stuff. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's about the people. It's like at the end of the day, you know, because it's so easy to be, like growing up, I feel like the idea was like, oh yeah, go like work hard, make a lot of money. You know, that's what like success looked like, you know, and it's like, but like, I keep coming back to what you said, Henry, about like, if we're not enjoying what we're doing, then what are we doing? You know, it's like it's about the people. It's about the people. Two things I feel like that you hit on was it's about the people that you're working with, you know, because if we're not doing right by people, then what are we doing?
Yeah.
And then it's also like about like what we're creating. Like we're born to create you said like if we're doing, we should be coming into work every day trying to make that dish better. The same dish, right? But it's like we're trying to make it better and better every single day. And there's so much value in that. And I think people can lose sight of that sometimes where there's so much value just in those incremental things to your patience point of like those just like little incremental daily bumps and just the effort that you put forward and two steps back. Like you're gonna put that effort forward a lot of times and fail.
Yeah.
Totally. You know, but like if you had like, you know, that over the course of, you know, days, weeks, months, years becomes like that's forward movement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally. Totally. I look at my peers like in the restaurant industry or the cafe industry that, you know, started around the same time or whatever. And at the end of the day, the measure of success is going to be longevity. It's not going to be who had better coffee, who had a better interior, like what you know, what was more popular, what celebrities went to that. It's going to, that's all moo, right? It's more like, are you still around or are you not?
Yeah.
Because, you know, and that's just like patience, hard work, not trying to always look for the grass is going to be greener on the other side. Building a career. And I think that word is like lost so much these days because it's like quick fix, you know, people don't, you know, but, you know, then again, there is a lot more entrepreneurial spirit out there, I feel like, which again is great. It's terrible to hire for because like doers are doers. They don't, they'll go and do for themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
totally.
Like,
yeah.
But that's what, as a founder, that's what you want in your company. So like finding that becomes very difficult, but you know, not all businesses are successful. So like, you know, you have to be smart, but
and also I think like with the longevity thing, it does again like come back to the people, because like in order to have longevity and to grow as a business, you have to invest in people who are going to help the business grow, you know. You can't do it on your own.
You can't do it alone.
You have to really like invest in people and trust people, and I think that's a huge part of it.
Yeah, totally. 100%.
Yeah, you can't hold on to it too tightly. You have to take the risk of like trusting others and you know, allow like create room for people to make mistakes so that they can grow, you know, as hard as it is to watch it happen.
Talking to ourselves here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what we're learning.
It's I mean, I tell a lot of people when I first opened, I had 100% expectations, and then I very quickly learned that it has to be an 80-20 split or else I'm going to go crazy. Mm-hmm. And if you're a kind of person that like can't give up that 20% of, you know, everything being perfect and being okay with that, it's going to be very difficult, one, to get along with you as a human being in the workplace. But it's really, I mean, I'm sort of speaking obviously for the restaurant business, but most other businesses as well, I'm sure it's the same. Absolutely. With you. Like, you know, you can't put your touch on every little detail of your business. And so it's probably not going to be 100% in your eyes, but you got to create that ecosystem where it's okay or else you can't move forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do it all, so it's never going to move forward if you're trying to do it all.
No, unless you're, you know, an actor or I get, you know, like something, or a musician. I don't know.
And you're not going to be able to do your own best work if you're having to touch everything.
Right.
No. Then it's like you're going to give very little, you know, it's not going to be your best.
No, 100%.
Yeah. So I think that's a great point. Yeah, it's just like, man, you got like 80% success rate is, you know, if you're hitting that regularly, like that's amazing.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So having grace for yourself and grace for others who are creating that space is incredible. Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much. This is like, again, like it's just Jordan and I feel like we've been having conversations like this. We've probably had, you know, a similar shorter version of this conversation when we first met. But I think we have so much respect for what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
And not just for like, I mean, we definitely have respect for like the quality of what you're doing and the experience, just as you know, call it consumers coming to your restaurants for a long time. Just absolutely love that. But I think even more importantly, just the way that you guys are doing it, the route you're taking, like the stuff that's happening behind the scenes, where it's like, you know, the care for people. Like that really does, you know, that really does come through in everything you guys are doing.
Thank you
so much. And same for you guys. It's been, I mean, even, you know, in the couple of years since we've known you, it's been amazing to see.
Yeah. I mean, the growth that you guys, since we met you, I feel like you guys have had a really good couple of years with the business.
Yeah. And it's been incredible to see. It's been so cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, post pandemic, same for us, where it was like, There was almost like times were so hard that it just kind of like everybody, for us, I feel like with Ranger Station, it became a time of, it's like, what's the worst that could happen? You know, it's like things are hard.
Can't get much worse. Yeah, totally.
We had the conversation of like, both of the businesses we work for could go down, you know?
Yeah.
And we were like, all right, let's figure it out.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like everyone, most people probably had those conversations. It has been beautiful. And I feel similarly to y'all. And like, you know, we really had to put our heads down and figure out the right way to move forward. Mm-hmm. But we have good people around us. And
It was almost this moment of, I think something people say all the time is like, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? But I feel like that time was the inverse of that in a cool way. That was like, what would you do if you knew that there was a really, really good chance
it was going to fail? Because
it was like, it was this moment of like, y'all's restaurants were shut down for two and a half months. All of our retailers had to shut down. We were just, it was like, nobody knew what was going to happen. So it was this moment of just like, all right, like we have no idea what's going
to
happen. So
finger to the wind, let's go.
Let's just try some stuff.
Yeah, totally. That's exactly how
it's been a fun couple of years for sure.
Yeah.
Man, I love it. Yeah. Well, cheers to y'all. Thank you for doing this.
Cheers with the empty
dry gin.
With our empty mocktails. Cheers.